magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015. Got a question for you, Jason.
Sure.
The word, is it conundrum? And where does that even come from? Because I'm in the midst of a conundrum.
A conundrum is a word, and that's kind of like a problem, something you can't quite figure out.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your conundrum?
After your prayers, I get the part where we're to pray to be weak in the Lord so that, you know, he can be strong and so that he can work through our weakness, or we lean heavily into him. And yet, I'm also gaining strength from our listeners. And I've set out some of the comments why, but in a sense, I know how I am to be weak in the Lord and allow him to work in and through me. And yet, I'm finding myself also strengthened. So my conundrum is that I see the value in being so weak that we have to totally be dependent on the Lord. And yet, I'm gaining great strength from the listener. So it's kind of a fun little conundrum.
Yeah, well, think about the Apostle Paul. What did he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4? Now, we would say if we read the Bible, especially we read the letters, we would say Paul has wise words. I mean, we would say Paul is wise. And we would say that in many places, Paul is absolutely persuasive in his argument for Christianity and his argument for Christ and him crucified. So we would say that Paul is very wise, and we would say that he is very persuasive. In fact, Paul wrote the book of Romans now underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit is the author and Paul is the instrument. But still, we use that Romans to walk people towards the Lord. We call it the Romans Road. So we walk people towards the Lord and through these scriptures that Paul wrote. So obviously, absolutely persuasive. And yet in 1 Corinthians 2:4, he says, I did not come to you with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And so that's Paul saying, I am absolutely weak here. I'm not at play here. I am not bringing anything to the table that you think I'm bringing to the table. It's all about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I think that's when we lay aside ourselves and we allow God to strengthen us. And you know, just as, what does it say in the latter portions of Deuteronomy when Moses is singing his song to the Lord about the Lord's faithfulness? He says, as the rain falls and the dew comes down and the grass grows, and the Lord is my rock, he's faithful. Mm-hmm. And so the same as that, when you lay yourself aside and you say, it's not about me, the Lord sends you all these nuggets of encouragement from the listeners, nuggets of encouragement from all kinds of people to let you know that you are stronger than you know, but your strength doesn't come from you.
Yeah, yeah. And I just wanted to say that word, conundrum.
Conundrum?
It came to
like
my mind.
9-year-old son.
Yeah, I got to use
conundrum,
the new word.
Conundrum, conundrum, conundrum. I just want to say it.
Hey, you were talking about letters, and that's what we're going to read in just a minute, but I don't know if you got yesterday's News Gazette, but it fits really well with today's program because on the front page of the sports section, Family Pursuit. It's a photo of Janine Keller and her daughter and grandson. They're going to be running in the, I guess it's a 5K, 10K, and a mini marathon here happening in the Champaign-Urbana area soon. But a great photo of them, and we have a great message from her. And if you look behind you, there's you, myself, and Janine in Israel as we're boarding a boat on the Sea of Galilee. So it's kind of fun. So we're going to give her a little shout-out along with some other listeners, because I think it was last week, Jason, we kind of started talking about the 2020 challenge. Maybe it's been a couple weeks, but this gives us an opportunity because I haven't been able to read many of the listener letters over the air and update some people on those that are taking the 2020 challenge. So here's just a little feedback. I thought we'd devote a little portion of the program to a couple comments that have been sent in the last week or 10 days. And this one from Janine was very sweet and I think conveys a lot of what many people feel about this radio ministry.
So Janine says, what has Great News Radio meant to me? I can't remember when I first started listening to Good News Radio, which later changed to Great News Radio. At first, for some reason, I didn't think I would ever get used to the change, but of course, the name change became natural. My husband Bob and I were able to ride together to work for 14 years before he passed away, and we listened to Great News Radio on our way to and from work. After Bob was diagnosed with cancer in 2004, he slowly became unable to work. I still listened every chance I could. One morning, I heard Jackie Velasquez's song, I Get on My Knees, and that song somehow gave me strength because I could so relate to the message, and God was giving us unbelievable strength. Bob passed away on April 17, 2005. I spent the last month in the hospital with him and, of course, had a portable radio, doing a lot of listening and writing in the night, praising and thanking God for helping us through this. In 2008, I took my first trip to Israel with Great News Radio. It was a go-and-serve trip in the Negev Desert. I was so excited I could hardly contain myself. On that trip, there was also plenty of opportunity for visiting historical sites, Bible study, and devotionals. I met sisters in Christ who have become lifelong friends. There's nothing like a first trip to Israel. Meeting wonderful people, visiting biblical sites, and studying the scriptures is indescribable. I would agree. I wake up to Great News Radio every morning, switching back and forth throughout the day between WGNN and WGNJ, so I can catch my favorite teachers. Sometimes I even plan my day around the radio to be able to catch up on those shows and stream them on the iPhone when going on morning runs. When driving out of area, I get aggravated if I lose the signal because someone like Janet Parshall will be discussing something intriguing. Thank you, Mark, Jason, Joey, Karen, and Bethany, for all you do to make it possible to grow in a relationship to God, listen to inspirational speakers, dig into thought-provoking subjects, and sing along with Christian messages. Thank you, Mark, for following up on the call to leave the grocery business and start a new venture. Your trust in the Lord and energy has created a benefit we all get to enjoy. Anyone who knows you or has worked with you is amazed by your energy. Yes.
That God's energy. Thank you.
Happy anniversary and many blessings to you all and to all the great volunteers who helped support you.
Isn't that just great? Being somebody... maybe with the
next time you need to print this out in 18 font.
yeah, well, tiny. Well, to fit that whole thing on a page, I had to keep it nice and small. But I think, and I asked Jason to read that because I think that represents many of the thoughts and feelings and cares that so many of you have for this radio ministry, how God uses it in your life. And I love that I have this opportunity, the privilege to be a part of the radio ministry. Mm-hmm. And God's kind of wired me that way, that exhortation gift. I love to see people grow. So when I hear somebody that's a dear person like Janine, growing in the Lord. The newspaper article, I guess it's okay to mention it. She's going to turn 70 pretty soon, and she's still desiring to passionately listen to God's word, taught, proclaimed, and referenced, and it's, I think, indicative of many of our mature listeners. They want to keep growing and learning, and thank you, God, for this radio ministry, but... yeah, I do it because God's wired me to do it, and I love that he's being honored and proclaimed. So thank you, Janine, for that note and the support. Here's another unique one. This is a barber that I met with a couple of years ago. There was a News Gazette story on him. He was robbed, and he kind of shared how he used to be a part of that lifestyle and robbed people and lived a life of destruction, part of gangs and so forth, and then gave his life over to Christ. And so it was a real interesting article in the newspaper. So I ended up contacting him and interviewed him, and he gives out Bibles at his barber shop. He always has Bibles. He has the radio station on. Yeah. Anyways, he wrote, this is James Winston of Urbana, "Peace be unto you. I accept the challenge." And that's speaking of the 2020 challenge, where we're encouraging people to give $20 over the next 20 months as we're celebrating 20 years of serving the Lord through our broadcast. And so that's what he's referring to. He accepts the challenge. Jesus promised to send another comforter. That comfort, in essence, is the truth. Many times in a person's life, the truth is of no comfort. In fact, it's downright stressful, uncomfortable, but if endured, it will transform to comfort in all areas of life. You at Great News Radio seek being truth daily. I thought, what if Great News Radio should cease? Where would I turn on my radio dial to edify the sounds environment at Service Barbershop? So I surfed the radio, FM and AM. Nothing fit our purpose. That is, to bring faith to the world. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How that'll ring your bell, Jason. Yeah. And then he goes on to say, the truth about his world we are in, the truth about our hearts and our minds. You are a co-laborer to plant, water, keep up the good work of comfort. And that was from James in Urbana. And a few others maybe we can highlight, but as we're launching into our 20th year of providing educational programs to proclaim God's word, to build up the church, and to encourage you in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's been a privilege to do this 20 years, and we hope we'll do it for another 20 years. And so how about reading? You and I can go back and forth. I just highlighted a few. These are just a few that Karen has captured and put on a page for us.
Sure. Esther Williams from Tilton, Illinois. She says, thank you for keeping the Christian station on the air. I like Dr. Stanley and others and Adventures in Odyssey and Unshackled. God bless you all and keep up the good work.
Oh, that's a whole gamut of teaching from Dr. Stanley to Unshackled and Odyssey in between. That's classic. Kay Boos from Gibson City writes, thank you for for 19-plus years of God's Word through radio.
Yeah, Patricia Reichert from Urbana, Illinois. Great News Radio has been on my constant companion over the years as I have traveled around East Central Illinois making home visits as a nurse. I always have my car radio tuned to 102.5 FM, and through Great News Radio, God has spoken just what I needed to hear to get me through the day. Thanks for being there.
Zelma Neal from Rantoul, and there's a couple radio spots with her voice, and she writes each and every month, and this time she says, I was out, but had WGNN on and heard just a little of you asking for $20 for something. Even though I give monthly, I want to increase my giving by $20. Keep spreading the word.
Sharon Wagman of Danville, Illinois. Easter was awesome. I would agree. And here we go. Spring has sprung. It's so nice to see God's creation come back to life after winter has gone. Someday soon we'll receive our glorified bodies. Then we'll have forever throughout eternity to be with our Lord. Amen. And time to see all those who have gone before us, those who were used of God to write His holy word. They're all my favorites. When we've been here 10,000 years. This lady's preaching. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. You aren't kidding. But I'm sure I'll get used to it. Amen. And to God be the glory.
To God be the glory. Oh, thanks, Sharon. Danny Hosey from Champaign writes, just thought I'd drop a line to say what a joy-filling, hope-building relief it is to be able to catch you guys when I can. I've gotten so much out of Great News and Good News Radio. I can't tell you how much I've grown since I began listening and sharing all I can about your ministry and teachers and so much more. Thanks, Danny.
Charlene Foster says from Gibson City, congratulations on following God's lead these past 19 years in central eastern Illinois and western Indiana.
Jerry and Shirley Kolb from Monticello write, congratulations on 19 years. May the Lord continue to bless your ministry as it blesses all of us.
Reva Holy Cross from Perrysville, Indiana says, please put me on the list for $20 a month. Woo-hoo! To help you for future expenses. I listen to your 10 p.m. program every night. Keep up the good work. What's on at 10 p.m.?
Let's see. On GNJ, it's Unshackled. Let's see. Perrysville, Indiana. Yeah, she's listening to Unshackled. That's seven nights a week, 10 p.m.
Oh.
Unshackled, where your hearts and minds become unshackled. Classic program. And then Lawrence Crawl from Clinton writes, pray for many villages, towns, cities within reach of WGNN radio. May the Lord bring many to faith. And let's see. A couple more I have on this other sheet. Marjorie Miller from Champaign writes, happy 19th birthday. I have valued your message and music for many years. Mrs. Jesse Yardy from Urbana writes, your ministry is a blessing. And Gary and Darlene Hawk from Urbana writes, so blessed by Great News Radio. It's a privilege to support this outreach ministry. So, hey, thanks, everyone. Your words are a great encouragement to us. And don't ever hesitate to write in a prayer request or maybe a comment, even a criticism God can use to help us improve our broadcasts. Or maybe it doesn't have to be a criticism. Maybe it's some counsel or advice or suggestions. I know on some of the trips to Israel, I go, how do I say it? I say praises, encouragement. Criticisms. And I make a scowl face to make sure nobody will. Well, anyways, we take your advice to heart, and hopefully anything we can do to improve this radio ministry to God's glory is the direction we want to take. So if you have feedback, don't hesitate to write us at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. That's Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. And maybe if you just tuned in, we've launched into a little challenge, I guess, a 2020 campaign where if you might consider donating $20 for the next 20 months, that would be a great way to usher in this 20th year of ministry work through this ministry. And so consider that maybe today. And it doesn't have to be $20. It can be any amount. And together we can do better and see how God will lead us forward in the days ahead. Now, do you want to talk a little about complacency? I know that was something. You came into the studio and you and I were talking about world affairs and the direction this country was going and the direction seemingly that many of us, we can fall into complacency because we got it pretty good here in this country. And even those that maybe don't have it that good have it way better than most of the world. And it seems like there's a tendency that we can, whether we get into a rut or we just get so busy with lesser things that it crowds out our time with God so that we can really be moved by the Spirit to take action. A lot to think about.
Well, you know, I think that we all can be guilty of complacency, of apathy, where things are concerned. Comfort always rubs up against that, so we get very comfortable and we start to think, well, things are just okay. And especially, I think, we think in our own kind of maybe our own world, you know, things are pretty good here, and we don't think about how things are on a greater scale. You know, I was just thinking not too long ago, you know, I've had a number of friends who, you know, they follow world events. And I honestly, I don't follow world events that good. I mean, I read the news once a day. When things kind of pop up, I'll read them or look at them when people forward them to me. But I really don't follow it a lot. I mean, not as much as some people. But I've had some folks who say, you know, I just really think the end is near. I mean, I really think that we're closer than farther in terms of Jesus coming back. And when I see that, or when I hear that, or when I think about that, or when I even interact with some of those news stories where it says, you know, are you on the left or are you on the right? Or, you know, and I think as Christians, we have to be real careful, because at least for my own self, I want to speak for me first, and then you can make your own decisions out there as you're listening. But you know what? I don't care if I'm left. I don't care if I'm right. I'm for Jesus. And if I think that Jesus is coming back sooner, if I think we're closer than farther, then my urgency with the gospel needs to be fervent. I mean, I need to reach out with the gospel. I need to save people. If I believe that judgment is coming, if I believe that the great marriage supper of the Lamb, if I believe these things are coming, well, how about this? All of us in Christ have nothing to lose by sharing the gospel. What might happen? It might be socially awkward. What might happen? We may be persecuted. But you know what? We leave here, and where do we go? To be with the Lord. And the Lord is our strength, and He's our ever-present help in times of distress and times of need. So He's right here with us, powering us and moving us. So what then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Nobody. Oh, death, where is your sting? There is no sting. I'm not scared of death. This last breath I just took is the Lord's to give, and it's the Lord's to take away. He could take this life from me right now, and I would go to be in glory with Him. Therefore, I don't fear death. I don't fear any of those things. And because I don't fear death, I live life in an even greater way. Now, when I say that, I'm making kind of a blanket statement, because I don't always do that. Because sometimes I fall into complacency. Sometimes I fall into apathy. Sometimes I allow worry to overwhelm me. Sometimes those things happen. In fact, I used an illustration this past weekend. You know, F.B. Meyer was a great voice in the Puritan Reformation, late 1800s, early 1900s. Strong voice. You read his writings. It's amazing, the books that he wrote. And you think, wow. But he wrote this one very telling, I don't know if it's an autobiography or where he wrote it exactly. He said, early on in my ministry, I was really debilitated in that. I was really paralyzed in certain places in my ministry, because I realized that I had given God every key to every room in myself except for one. He said this one key that I had held back, and that key was the key to the room, this little tiny room that I marked personal, where I kept my shame and my guilt, and I kept my apathy and my complacency. I kept all the things that I didn't want the Lord to see, even though He's omniscient and omnipotent, and He already knows them all. But I held back that one key, and He said, and it robbed me of power and joy and the ability to worship. And He said, when I gave over that key to the Lord and I swung open every door and I said, everything is yours, in that moment, I truly worshiped for the first time. And this is a guy who we'd say is a strong voice in the Puritan movement, a strong voice in the church. And with this admission that complacency had kind of creeped into his life, and it creeps into every one of our lives. Let's live holy and set apart our lives because we're alive in Christ, and therefore we're seeking to guard our holiness. We're seeking to guard our division. We're seeking to, and when I say guard our division, guard ourselves from division. We're seeking to build unity. We're seeking to love one another. We're seeking to kill division wherever it seems to happen. We're seeking to do all these things because we want to remain holy, set apart, not only individually, but as a gathered community. And because we're trying to do those things, look, we have to fight. Complacency will creep in. And our job is to, I preached this last weekend, I preached out of Romans 12:1, and just this idea of presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, presenting ourselves, because it says in there that it's your spiritual worship. And so I need to be presenting myself to God, all of myself, not some of myself, but all of myself to God. And that's because I love Him. That's because I love him more than anything. It's the most important relationship. You know, I used the illustration during the sermon of a wedding. And when we get married in a wedding, the wife doesn't turn to the husband, to the groom, and doesn't say, I give you my wonderful cooking skills. Hmm. And the husband doesn't, or the groom doesn't turn to the wife and say, I give you my competent ability to make money. In a marriage vows, they say, I give myself to you forever and ever till death do us part. In a greater relationship, the Bible talks about our relationship with Christ like a wedding, like a marriage. It says the church and Christ are like married, bride and groom. And so therefore, our job on our side is to say, I give myself wholly to you. I give myself over to you. And it's in that moment, I think, that we're alive in Christ, and complacency kind of slides out of the way, and we become that life that we have in Christ drives us and pushes us. And then when we look at things, all these things in the world, we begin to press into them in such a way that you know what? Whom shall I fear? I don't fear anybody. You know, I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. I'm not scared spiritually for my brothers and sisters over in Libya or in Iraq or those Christians who are over there. I'm not spiritually worried about them. I'm physically worried about them because they're in harm's way. But I'm not spiritually worried about them because they're willing to get lined up on a beach and killed for the cause of Christ, for the gospel. They won't recant that. But I'm going to tell you right now that I am spiritually worried about those of us who are here. Not physically, because we got it good. I can get on the radio. Here in America. I can get on the radio. I can preach the gospel. I can go to my church, preach the gospel, open up the doors. I can put the recording on the internet. Nobody's coming to get me yet. But spiritually, I'm worried. Warren Wiersbe said in one of his commentaries on Romans, he said, we have far too many cafeteria Christians, those who order just what they want and miss out on the great things that God prepares for them. And so we need to not be like that. Instead, we need to be of those who say, God, I'm going to give you my whole self, every bit of myself. I'm going to present myself to you. And that presentation of yourself doesn't happen in kind of the quiet places in your life. That presentation happens in everywhere in your life. You present them at the grocery store, where you're getting the mail, at work. You present them all throughout your day. You present yourself as a sacrifice to God, saying, God, do with me what you will, because you will do more than I can imagine with me. It's as if you took a check out of your checkbook and you signed the bottom of the check and you gave it to God and you said, fill in the amount, because I can't give more than you gave towards me. And that's what our life needs to be like with God. To say, God, I'm going to give you my all in all, my everything, because you gave far more than that to save me, to rescue me. And so I think that kills complacency, that kills apathy, and in the same token, it almost answers your conundrum.
Back to the beginning.
It answers your conundrum.
We're wrapping this one up.
Because nothing strengthens you like being alive in Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing.
To live is Christ, to die is gain. I was thinking as you were sharing, and we should be motivated and enthused because of what God's done for us. I've been signing thank you letters to people saying in this resurrection season, just because, you know, we're still hopefully thinking about the Easter season that we've just walked through and celebrated, and hopefully that can be a year-long message that the risen Christ who suffered for us is returning.
Well, the idea of Easter Sunday, the idea of resurrection, is that you would live out of that differently. It's not that we celebrate that kind of one day and then we go, yay, Easter, resurrection, cheesy potatoes and ham and that. We come out of that resurrection Sunday and we live every day differently because we live through the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, guilt has no power now. Shame has no power. Condemnation has no power. Death, where is your sting? None of that. Instead, we are alive in Christ because Christ is alive.
All right, everyone, put to death complacency today. Well, I'm going to close out with that song, I Get on My Knees by Jackie V. I don't know how to pronounce it, Velasquez or something, but this is for Janine Keller and all of us that we need to get on our knees and celebrate and revel in the great Lord that we get to serve. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
When I feel I'm letting soaring on the wind, 'cause I've learned in laughter or in pain how to survive. I get on my knees, I get on my knees, and there I am. changing.